Nekiriana Mahasandoro Kura Mahasere Prenkiriya Mahaye To Niriana Nana Shandara Mahaye Prekiriyo Nono Kosho No Kuriya Manana Sere Prinkiriyo Nono Kosho Nana Mahaye To Sonderi Ke Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ah, praise the Lord. It's so wonderful that it's Friday and we could just take a sigh of relief, those of us that the work week is over. Some of you still have to work for the weekend, but at least you could take a breath and relax in the Lord, rest in the Lord, and receive what He has for us tonight. Amen? So glad that you could be here tonight. And we are finishing up a protection prayer series with part two, ABC End Times Prayers. And I will do a very quick review. So those of you that did not get to listen to this, it was last Sunday at 1 p.m. You can look at that on demand on the ABC website. I think it's still rebroadcasted. And we're just going to do a very quick review. And we were talking about how God protects believers. So I said, do not be afraid, only believe. It doesn't matter what is going on around you. If you are not afraid and continue to believe in God and His word, then you remain under the kingdom of God and nothing of the enemy shall by any means harm you. The COVID pandemic has been an interruption to our normal life, like the woman with the issue or the flow of blood for 12 years. She interrupted Jesus when He was on the way to go pray for a 12-year-old girl that was sick, and it was Jairus's daughter. He was a leader, a ruler of the synagogue. But she, for 12 years, spent all her money and went to every doctor she could find, and it got worse. So she knew that if she could just touch Jesus's garment, something in her, the faith rose up to believe that if she just touched Jesus, that she could receive healing. She could receive what she needed. And she reached out and she touched Jesus' garment, the garment of praise. For the spirit of heaviness, that heaviness of grief, of loss, of hemorrhaging, of blood and money and time and all of her hope. And this was the only hope left. And virtue, anointing, left Jesus and was imparted into her. And she was instantly healed. It doesn't matter if COVID is making an interruption in our lives. You continue to reach out to Jesus and grab that anointing and instantly receive whatever you need from the Lord. Amen? And then the interruption got interrupted. And then somebody came and told Jairus, why are you, gonna bother the master anymore? There's no need. What they were saying was, it's too late. They were trying to tell Jairus that his daughter was dead, and Jesus interrupted that interruption. So not all interruptions are bad. A godly interruption is good. So the godly interruption for the woman that was hemorrhaging, she got healed. And here's another interruption that seems even worse. The daughter was dying. Jesus was on the way. He got delayed. And now the daughter is reported to be dead. So what did Jesus say? He said that He was going to go there. He said, don't worry about it. In other words, I'm just putting a paraphrase. And even if it looks like things are getting worse, that Jesus no longer needed to pray for His sick daughter. Well, When he got to Jairus' house, there were mourners. They were in grief that the daughter died. And so he had to kick out a spirit of unbelief. He kicked them all out of the house and they were mocking him because he said, she's asleep. And they thought he was like nuts or something, but he was calling those things that are not as though they were. If there's something in your life that the devil tried to take away from you, and it seems like that goal or dream is no more, and the devil's trying to call it gone, say, no, it's not. And you know what happened? Jesus said to the little girl, arise! And so if you arise in your faith, you kick out the unbelief. You arise that no matter what has been happening in your life, that God will restore better than before in Jesus' name. If you will only believe and not be afraid. Pray effective prayers for the fervent, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much or accomplishes much. Pray and affirm a scripture that God has promised you, and it has to line up with the word of God, because the devil doesn't listen to our word. He only listens to God's word. But when we speak God's word forth, the devil doesn't know if it's God speaking it or us speaking it, because it is his word, and it shall go forth to accomplish that which we send it to do. And the angels of God hearken unto the voice of the word of the Lord. It must be spoken out, and then they take that word and they're assigned to accomplish it. So don't speak out what you see that is something that makes you fearful. Rather, speak the word of God and call those things that aren't yet as though they already were. And when you thank God, then you keep thanking him. You will see that what has already happened in the spirit when you asked one time, it happened when you asked. And then you thank him for it and worship him. And then you will see it happen. If you have to ask again, it means you didn't believe it the first time you asked. And that is not faith. That is not trust. That is not belief. And so we have to kick out the doubt if that ever happens again. Okay? And God wants to protect believers. The Lord fights for you and me. But we must believe that he does that. And he delivers us from all trouble. He will not forsake us. And he is our refuge and protects us. And so we at ABC strongly encourage you to pray Psalm 91 every day upon awakening without fail. It's strongly suggested to memorize it by heart. And that prayer, it only takes 4 minutes. Do you have a few minutes? And that's really, really slow. I do it in 2 minutes and 19 seconds. So I personalized it, and this is what God taught me with different translations of the Bible to help me understand it better while I was praying it. And then the Lord said, why don't you pray this over your family as you're praying it for yourself? So then I used it as an intercession. So I will say we or us or my family, because that way I know that I'm covering them with protection at the same time. So I encourage you to read the personalized version, which is on demand if you didn't get to print it out for last Sunday. And here are some affirmations that take 25 seconds. All three of these will protect you from COVID-19. And in the name of Jesus, every COVID-19 virus is killed or destroyed if it comes close to me, my family, pets, or possessions. In the name of Jesus, every COVID-19 virus that comes in, on, or above my or family's home or property, business, or workplace is instantly killed or destroyed. And my family, pets, and I have been inoculated from COVID-19 by the blood of Jesus. 25 seconds. And, you know, keep those prayers on your phone. You could take a picture of it. You could, you know, put it in your email and bring it up, or keep a copy of the paperwork on you in your pocket so you could do these all the time. And so let's go to protection prayer series. Part 2, A, believe in faith that God heard your prayers when you prayed. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them then. When? Believe you receive them when you pray, the minute you prayed. And you will have them if you do those first things. Believe that you receive them when you prayed. And if you don't have them yet, was there some spirit of unbelief that you have to kick out still? Number two, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not attend church once in a while. That's not diligent. At least two times a week, we recommend that you attend church or rebroadcast if you're working, but so that you could get the word of God inside of you and the anointing, because that way you are maintaining yourself in the kingdom of God. Now, it's important to believe the word of God. And there was an atheist professor in a university who was discrediting the Bible, and he was saying that the parting of the Red Sea was impossible and that it never took place. You know, in the Hebrew language, they don't have vowels, so it's the R-D-C, so there's also a Reed Sea. And he said, either way, at that time of the year, could have been a drought, and they think that there was only 10 inches of water in any of those seas. And so it was impossible that the Hebrews could not have gone through a deep, deep sea. There would have been no need to part any of the, the water, so they could go down on dry land and cross from one section to the other side, because if there's only 10 inches of water, they could just tread the water. And so a student raised his hand and he said, well, professor, you just caused me to believe in God's miracle even more, because if your theory is correct, I believe that the Bible is correct, that the sea was so deep that the waters had to be parted. And so if, say, your theory is correct, God still made a miracle. And the professor said, how could God have made a miracle? He said, because I believe the Bible is the word of God, the student said, as well as a history book. And that historical account says that the entire army of Pharaoh drowned in that sea. So what a miracle that all the army of Pharaoh drowned in 10 inches of water. And so the professor was like, oh. And so that kind of shut down his argument. Of course, this is a made-up situation, as if, what if there was a professor that believed that? And what if there was a student that responded that way? And so I really truly believe that the Word of God is an historical account of factual events for a God who is really real. If you believe that too, then why are you allowing the devil to bring doubt and concern and anxiety? Because you know how this all ends. You know that he says he protects us. You know that he says that he provides for us. You know that he says that he is the one that can heal us and restore us and cover us. So why worry? Why be anxious? Why fret? You know, number three says we must be diligent, consistent in prayer. Persistent, as a persistent effort, because there is no quick fix. You know, it's not a microwave society in heaven. It is doing things right with patience and faith. You know, when you want to make a homemade tomato sauce, you know, I learned from my Italian mother-in-law and from my husband, you get a bunch of tomatoes and you stew it down, and they have to peel it. And it takes hours and hours and hours. And after 10 minutes, when you turn on the fire, you say, is this thing done yet? Oh, it hasn't even started boiling yet. And you don't want to have big old honking tomato chunks, you know, in your plate when it's supposed to be a sauce to cover through the whole spaghetti. And So you are patient to wait for hours and hours and hours until it's completely incorporated and smooth, and it gets to the point where it's the right consistency that you want. Prayer is the same thing. You have to simmer that prayer every day, all day long, so the fire of God stays lit inside of us, and so that we don't lose the passion of our first love. And if you have to reignite that, this is a good time to do it, to rely on the Lord, lean on Him, knowing that He's there for us. You know, Pastor James, he prays Psalm 91 very regularly on a daily basis, is the usual thing. And also when we get back into the car, if we have a journey where we got out of the car at the office and have to go back in the car to go home, and we CRB, we reestablish the kingdom of God, and we also reactivate Psalm 91. And so the one day there, he had left for work, and there was a multiple car pileup on the freeway very shortly after he left, because I turned on the news to see what was going on. And someone, I think, had died in that car accident. It was fatal. And the gridlock was already 2 to 3 hours backed up, and people were stuck on the freeway. They couldn't even exit the freeway. So I was praying for him, and I just thank God that the Lord could get him to his destination and he wouldn't be stuck there. And I was washing the breakfast dishes, and after that I called him to see where he was. I expected him to be maybe on the freeway, but I hoped that he wasn't in the gridlock portion of it. And I said, where are you? And I thought maybe he was like taking the street. Sometimes he'll see it backing up and slowing down, and he won't get stuck with those cars. He gets off and he takes the parallel roads, you know. He does it only once in a while. And he said, I'm at the office. But this was like in, you know, usually takes like 45 minutes without traffic. And on the way home, it could take anywhere from an hour to 4 hours because of peak hour on the way home. So this is now like about 35 minutes, usually takes 45 to get there when I'm calling him. So I thought he was still on the road. He goes, I'm already in my office. I said, really? How did you get there? And he started laughing and he said, I drove? And I didn't mean like what mode of transportation. I was just trying to say, how did you get through the traffic so quickly, quicker than normal? And I told him what happened, and I said, so how did that work? And he said, well, the Holy Spirit guided me. He protected me. All of a sudden, I just heard him say, get off the freeway right now. And as he was getting off the freeway, he saw all the cars were braking and stopping. And then as he took the parallel streets, the Holy Spirit said, get back on the freeway here. Get off the freeway again. Get back on the freeway again. And he said it happened several times in the journey. And then when he got back on the freeway, all of a sudden, he felt his foot hit the brake. And he's thinking to himself, I shouldn't be braking on the freeway. I'm supposed to be going the speed limit. And he didn't want anybody crashing into the back of him. And he was wondering what was going on. And right when he braked, the car slowed down enough that some speeder was going like 90 miles an hour. And he cut right in front of him. And if he had not braked to slow down the car, he would have hit him, because it was such a razor thin amount of space between him and that car. And it was like, oh my. And he realized it was the angels of God that helped him to do that, and the Spirit of God that led him, because Psalm 91 simmers in him every single day that God protects him, even if it is to move his leg to the brake. And you know, we have to hear the voice of God so clearly. That is one of the first things of protection, is to hear the right instruction that protects us. And it's just like those of you that have a loved one that knows you so well that you grew up with. When they call you You don't have to say, who is this? You know immediately who it is because you recognize their voice. My sheep recognize my voice, the word of God said. He's the good shepherd. And so, you know, if you are having a challenge hearing the voice of God well, he's inviting you to draw even closer, to spend more time with him so that you abide in him and he'll abide in you under the shadow of the Almighty in Psalm 91. And then you will be able to hear him so much clearer. Amen. And so we see the operation of Psalm 91 operating very well there. Now let's go to B. When you operate in faith, power, and love, not in doubt, unbelief, or fear, you will see a big difference in your life. Mark 11, 22 to 25, we know the scripture well, but we're going to look at it in the Amplified Classic. Have faith in God constantly. Truly, I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea and does not doubt at all, not even a little bit in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place. It will be done for him. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Means let it go. Just leave it be, in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. Just forget about it. Put it in the past. Look not at the things that are behind, but look forward. Look forward towards the mark of your high calling. Press forward. And so if you have any regrets or any grudges or any bitterness or resentment or anger or hurt feelings, you haven't completely forgiven. You're almost there. Let all of it go. And then you will be able to receive what you stand in faith for without that blockage. Number two, and he did not do many works of power there because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in the divine mission of Jesus, according to Matthew 13, 58. That's the Amplified Classic. What is that talking about? Well, Jesus had just finished talking to them about the parables, and then he left there and he went to his own country, Nazareth, and he taught in their synagogue, and they were so amazed at his wisdom. They were saying, where did this man get his wisdom and these miraculous powers? But then they started to have, you know, doubt, like, he's not a trained rabbi or Pharisee or Sadducee. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary like the local people? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And that's not Judas Iscariot who betrayed him, another Judas, his brother. And do not all his sisters live here among us? They're saying, he's just a regular boy that grew up here. There's no way, if he's untrained, how could he have this kind of wisdom? Like jealousy and envy were rising up in them. And where did this man get all this? And they took offense at him, and they were repelled and hindered from acknowledging his authority and caused to stumble. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. So they didn't accept him. They didn't receive what he was saying. And so he did not do many works of power there because of all the unbelief and because of their lack of faith in the divine mission of Jesus. And so when you feel yourself getting negative or skeptical, that's a form of unbelief. You need to kick that spirit of unbelief out so that you could receive what you're praying for. Number three, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, timidity, or cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind, calm and well-balanced mind, discipline and self-control. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us with the fruit of the spirit of discipline and self-control. ask the Holy Spirit to help us to have more faith and patience and operate more in the fruit of the Spirit. Number four, avoid actions which contradict your faith action plan. Why? Because that's a form of doubt and unbelief if you don't act out what the Word is telling us that you already have by faith because you prayed it, so you must believe that you received it and act as if you have it. Because if you don't, then that little bit of unbelief is hindering you from receiving whatever that prayer answer is. Okay? Number five, if you work the Word, it'll work for you. So that means look at what the Word says, put it into action. So you're not just hearing it, you're doing it as well as a hearer and doer. Now we're going to see. Hear, speak, and do God's word in spiritual warfare and for your protection. Okay, so in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5, where this is also the Amplified Classic, it says, "For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty." They are what? Mighty. They are mighty before God. It means you are mighty. You have God's power inside of you, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So let's use more might against the enemy and our circumstances. Okay, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Whatever is making someone oppressed or depressed or anxious or fearful or fretful or angry or upset or hurt or offended or have unforgiveness, it is all a stronghold. But Jesus is stronger. God's word is stronger. The anointing is stronger to break that stronghold, because you fight not against flesh and blood. It is a spiritual warfare. Verse 5, "Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ the Messiah, our anointed one." We know our Messiah and who He is. We are waiting for His second coming, but we operate as ambassadors of Jesus Christ on this earth. So let us operate as who we are in Him and go far, far, far above that which would try to hinder us. Now, when you are a hearer and a doer, it's very important to be quick to obey. One time I was in Mexico on a mission trip, and I was preaching there, and the mayor of the town came and all the people, and he came from a different city actually, and there was a lot of people, and they came and they got healed, they got set free, they got delivered. It was amazing. And we were invited to stay at some people's home in a 10,000 square foot beautiful mansion, but it was under construction, and they still had to put in the window pane. So there was a space, a hole for the window in the bathroom. And there were spaces in the bedroom where the window should be, but they put these blinds so at least, you know, the bugs couldn't come in. But in the bathroom, it was just an open hole, but it was above, high up on the wall. So, you know, you couldn't see the person showering. So I was, you know, in the shower. And I hear a still small voice, a thought in my mind, "Get out of the shower now." And I'm thinking to myself, that must be God. "But Lord, I have shampoo in my hair. I will just wash the shampoo out." "Get out of the shower now." It was stronger. And I said, "Okay, I'll get out of the shower." But I pushed up the suds because it was falling down into my eyes. I didn't want it to get into my eyes, to burn my eyes. And just as I did that, I was stepping out of the shower at the same time. But I was, you know, still taking my time. And he said, "Get out of the shower now." And I said, "Oh my." So then I jumped all the way out because I was taking my time with the suds and stuff, and I was going to turn the water off. I didn't have time to turn off the water. When he said that, I just jumped out of the way, and a lightning bolt hit the shower head and went down the water just where I was going to be standing. I wanted my hair to come out nice after I shampooed it. I did not want my hair to be frizzy with a lightning bolt and look like Einstein and be a crispy critter, you know? And so thank God I listened to the voice of God and I was a doer, not just a hear, but it took three times to recognize that it was urgent. So when God tells you to do something urgently, be quick to obey. And my heart was pounding and I'm like, I'm turning off this water and I'm washing out the shampoo in the sink over here away from that window. And wow, that was an experience. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that warns us. God wants to warn us of the things to come. He wants to do that on a daily, regular basis as a norm. And so number two, pray Psalm 23 every day to be under your heavenly good shepherd's protective covering. Pray the daily protection prayer every day. This prayer is a personalized, expanded version of a compilation of ABC prayers, which includes some of the advanced affirmations from the daily prayers for serious believers. And that was taught at ABC in August of 2014. So we had all these prayers that Pastor Joshua was telling us to pray for protection. They were in different semesters and different notebooks. And I said, Lord, I want to pray all these prayers. He says, put them together. And I said, okay, I'll get to it. I didn't have that opportunity to do it, you know, in a deliberate manner. I assist my husband in his business, and we had gone. I had gone with him to towards the office that day, and so we were coming back on the freeway, and I get a phone call from someone that says, "We are going out of the country, and my whole family to a family reunion. Could you please, please, please do me a favor and write a prayer for us? And we're leaving in a couple of hours." I'm like, in a couple of hours, oh my goodness. So with my one little finger on my phone, I typed this entire prayer that you see here on the commute back home. And so I said, okay, one day I'll just, you know, revise that and put it back together. And then the Lord said to me that he wanted me to give it to somebody else. And I told this person also, make sure to pray Psalm 91 every single day. And I reminded them of the story of Pastor Joshua has a friend named Bill. This was many, many, many years ago. And the Lord told him to give Bill a message. And that message was, you need to pray Psalm 91 every single day without fail and memorize it. Well, Bill didn't know why, and he just obeyed though. And he did memorize it. And, you know, this is kind of interesting. After Pastor Joshua had told this story, I went on the internet to look it up. And years ago, I found a video, but it was very dark and it was like in black and white. It was very raw footage. I guess that they wanted to view the building of whatever they were constructing from start to finish. And he was on the construction crew, and it was a crane that was supposed to be clearing this area. And somehow or other, the crane hit a power line, and it broke it, and it electrocuted Bill and his friend, and they died. And I'm watching the video, and steam is coming out of both of their bodies. They're about 3 or 4 feet apart. And I saw the volts go through them like electricity, like a lightning bolt. And steam's still coming out of them, and they're not moving. And I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden I see a stirring where I assumed it was Bill because I heard the story, and there's no audio, no microphone, but I could see his lips moving. And he had told the story to Pastor Josh, and Pastor Joshua said that Bill said he woke up and he just heard Psalm 91 come out of him. And I have to assume that he started at the beginning. And then he passed out. And then he woke up. And more of Psalm 91 came out of him. And then he passed out and he woke up again and he could barely move. He couldn't sit up. He couldn't stand up. And he saw his friend. He looked over and his friend wasn't moving. And he dragged himself over to the friend. And I saw just a quick touch and he didn't even have any energy to hold on to his friend. And I said, what is he doing? And I realized he was laying hands on his friend and commanded him to be healed. And his friend started to move and was revived. And it took a long time for the ambulance and the paramedics to get there and the fire department. And then they got him up and they put a blanket around him because it was cold. And he was sitting on the back of this truck. I don't know if it was the back of a paramedics truck or whatever. And there's still steam coming out of his body. It was like a cold night. You could see it. You know, like how people breathe fog. It was coming out of their body, the steam. And he crossed his leg. And then you could see a hole in the bottom of his shoe. That electrical bolt hit him and went all the way to his foot and through his foot and caused a hole when it exited through the leather. And they took them to the hospital and they both survived. Does that not make you convinced to pray Psalm 91 every day, frequently, and pray it over your family too? Amen? So what we're saying really works. And we want you to have that kind of protection. And so last time I realized that I had told some people that, you know, like when they're going out of town or they don't have time to pray that personalized prayer, that Psalm 91 prayer, the whole thing, but it really only takes 2 to 4 minutes. But some people don't even have that until you have 2 to 4 minutes. Then here is the 15-second brief version of Psalm 91. It says, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I activate the protection of Psalm 91 over myself, family, business, and all that pertains to us for the entire day today. Amen. Okay, so that is something that will cover you until you could pray the whole thing. Now here's Psalm 23, the Amplified Classic Version. So we can pray this together. Not repeating it after me, but saying it together. So let's say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for myself and my family, friends, and loved ones that daily the Lord is our shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me or us. And we shall not lack. He makes us to lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads us beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores our life. He leads us in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him. Not for my earning it, but for his namesake. Yes, though we walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, we will fear or dread no evil. For you are with us, your rod to protect us, your staff to guide us, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our head with oil. Our brimming cup runs over. Surely only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow us all the days of our life. And through the length of our days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be our dwelling place. Amen. And I really believe that that last verse means that people will be sent by God to go out of their way to do good things for you, even if it's not happening for someone else. Amen? Now, after I had compiled this daily protection prayer and sent it, and, you know, also I recommended to some people to say the short version or abbreviated version of Psalm 91 over themselves on a regular basis. I compiled this daily protection prayer, which only takes 4 minutes. It looks very, very long, but we're making this Arial font 14, so people who have vision challenges that are receiving the manifestation of their healing that they believe they have can read it easier. So it looks like it's longer than it is, but it only takes 4 minutes. You have 4 minutes to have another very powerful protection prayer over yourself and everything that concerns you. Okay, so then I thought to myself, oh, I've got a week or two before I'm going to be ministering this, and before I need to get this compiled correctly. And the Lord said, no. I said, what do you mean no? These are thoughts in my mind. I'm having a conversation with God in my mind. He says, no, you need to give it to this couple that are ABCers right away and have them pray Psalm 91 and daily protection prayer and Psalm 23 every single day, starting today. I said, well, if it's starting today, I can only like forward my text in this rough draft form. He said, fine. So I called them and I told them what the Lord said, and they said, fine. And they, you know, were going through things in their day, and it took them an hour to get through this because there were telephone interruptions, or had to make breakfast or dinner, or getting through their other daily prayers. And after a week, the husband said to me, when is our assignment over? I said, what do you mean? When do we stop praying these protection prayers? I said, never. Do you always want to be protected? Oh, he said, and he finally got it. I said, are you going to keep praying it? He says, okay. And then pretty soon, as they just kept working at it and worked it into their this is a 4 minute prayer that the devil kept delaying them, and they couldn't finish it for an hour. So finally I said, let's bind up the devil that keeps you from, you know, doing these prayers that obviously God needs you to do. And then pretty soon they did it, you know, faster and normal. And a week after that, they stand up at the front of the church because they had obviously told Pastor Joshua that they had a testimony to give, which I was unaware of at the time until I heard it when they got up in front of church. And they proceeded to say that there was a big commotion the day before outside of their house. They didn't know what was going on. They saw the police. They saw like the bomb squad. They were telling the neighbors to, go in their house. And they had a robot that had to pick up the bomb and put it in this enclosed case and take it away. And then they were told that they were shocked this bomb did not go off, because this type of bomb was very sensitive to, you know, be triggered very easily. And they said even, you know, the robot getting it or whatever, I think, I don't know all the details, but it should have blown up. And it was in the shared driveway that they share a driveway, half and half, with their neighbor. And it was on the neighbor's side of the driveway. But if they hadn't prayed those prayers and finally got to the point where it's consistent daily, their whole neighborhood would not have been saved from that explosion. I believe sincerely that these prayers caused the angels of God to stop that bomb from going off, to have someone see that it looked suspicious, and that the bomb squad was called. They live in a very nice neighborhood, very nice. There's no reason there should be any kind of violence there. It was an odd thing, but God knew. And if I wasn't obedient to be a doer, not just here, to give it to them right away, then from the day they started praying it, God was working things out and aligning things to protect them. Amen. So let's pray this daily protection prayer together. We're going to go slow. So some people who like to read very, you know, clearly and specifically can read along with us. Okay. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for myself and for my family, friends, and loved ones, that daily, in the name of Jesus, we command that there will always be a 150-mile radius of protection as the angels of God surround us, above us, below us, and 360 degrees around us, wherever we go. In addition, every mode of transportation we use is protected. No harm, evil, nor accident will befall us because we also have 10 feet of personal space of protection surrounding our body, modes of transportation, and home. I said modes of transportation because you could be in a plane, a train, you know, whatever. Furthermore, our home, work, business, family, church, pastor, and leaders are protected wherever we go. We are always in the right place at the right time and never in the wrong place at the wrong time because we are led by the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus, we bind up every demon, devil, and evil spirit automatically in anyone that may be in or around any property where we will be today. In the name of Jesus, all ungodly people and beings, which include criminals, thieves, strife makers, witches, hackers, cyber thieves, and anyone or computer who intends to do evil or malevolence or malware to us or our possessions are kept away from us by the angels of God and from our home, family, work, business, church, and anywhere we'll be. In the name of Jesus, our body, finances, accounts, identity, belongings, which include computers, mobile phones, and electronic equipment, and anything concerning us are always safeguarded by the angels of God with a strong, godly firewall. That's an internet protection. In the name of Jesus, I pray divine immunity over us, which means that any sickness, disease, pathogens, which include all viruses and contagions, especially COVID-19, prions, parasites, bad bacteria, every bad microorganism, mold and fungus, potentially harmful to us, dies or is destroyed before it comes into contact with our body, clothes, vehicles, residence, and possessions, wherever we go. In the name of Jesus, every radiation, chemical, drug, poison, allergen, and explosion, potentially harmful to us, is neutralized before it comes into contact with our body, clothes, vehicles, residence, possessions, wherever we go. So did this prayer operate for those people that day? It did. Let's continue. In the name of Jesus, according to Exodus 23, 25, and 26, God blesses and purifies everything we eat, drink, ingest, use topically, and the reservoirs where the water comes from that we use. Supplements and medication are also blessed by God and do us good with no negative effects. In the name of Jesus, no evil of the kingdoms of man, animals, nature, nor darkness can harm us. In the name of Jesus, nothing of earth, under the earth, wind, fire, water, nor the heavenlies can harm us, which include storms, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, floods, mudslides, sinkholes, volcanic eruptions, cataclysmic events, terrorism, cyber attacks, bio warfare, nuclear bombs, pandemics, especially COVID-19, nor any other disasters or calamities. Amen. Whew. I just felt the level of faith rise in every single one of you. It feels good to be protected. It brings a sigh of relief and a peace that passes all understanding. Protection also includes hearing God's voice better during these end times and positioning ourselves to remain under the anointing and in the kingdom of God. So that's why I added these affirmations for the end times that my husband and I do. And we recommend this to a lot of people, and we've really seen positive success and results because of it. So let's read this together, not repeating after me, but at the same time. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for myself and for my family, friends, and loved ones that daily, in the name of Jesus, nothing of the enemy shall by any means harm me nor my family. In the name of Jesus, we are a part of the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. In the name of Jesus, we will live, not die, and remain and go up in the air to meet Jesus in the rapture. In the name of Jesus, I and family will not take the mark nor worship the beast. In the name of Jesus, I and family will not go to the lake of fire, and we will worship the Lord our God and serve him only forever. In the name of Jesus, God gives me and family sweet, deep, uninterrupted, unafraid, rejuvenating, perfect sleep. In the name of Jesus, I and family are quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. And if we do get angry, we will not sin because we are loving, kind, and forgiving, who do not get anxious, nor get into strife or arguments, and we don't get offended, nor are we offensive. Amen. Now, why is it important to think that protection is praying for your sleep? Because there is a busy demon being under Satan's yoke and a workaholic demon that tries to get people to do a lot of things and they don't get their prayers done or they don't spend enough time with God. And therefore, it's harder to hear the voice of God. And they're so tired that it gives in a place to confusion and memory loss and challenges and making challenging decisions that may not be the right thing because they're not exactly hearing the voice of God like they should. Sleep does affect people. They did a study of that was in a clinic. They had some people, they slept and they were told to sleep 8 hours. And they were in a comfy bed and everything was perfect temperature for them, everything. And there was another group that they only got, they started out with like 6 hours of sleep. And the next day they actually could function okay. They were a little tired, but they didn't really, you know, make too many mistakes, but a couple. Then they said, okay, you're only gonna sleep for 5 hours. They woke them up in 5 hours the next day. And they were making all kinds of mistakes. And they try to correct their mistakes and they made a mistake of the correction. Then, you know, 4 hours of sleep. And then some people were very dizzy and didn't feel good and wanted to lie down and couldn't really drive. They had simulations of driving or doing different things. They said, don't even use sharp objects because people were, you know, hurting themselves when they were cooking. And then about two or three hours of sleep, the people were having delusions. And when they had no sleep, they couldn't tell reality from irrationality. And they did not perform very well at work, or they got into fights and arguments with other people, and they were more than cranky because they weren't understanding the resolution of a conflict. They just couldn't get it. The people who had 7 to 8 hours of sleep, they actually accelerated. They had some ailments, got better. These are like non-Christians. They had a better outlook of life. Before, they might have been critical or feeling overwhelmed or stressed out. That all left. They actually were able to see that they could be more peaceful and work more in harmony with others and be more unified. So what is the devil going to attack you with in order to create a domino effect for you to be attacked by the enemy? Guard your sleep and guard your heart. It's very important. And why is it important to confess that we're quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry? Because a lot of people will sin with their words. And anger is a big blockage to receiving your prayers and your blessings, and gives in to the enemy. And that means that that person's not walking in forgiveness. And if we're in unforgiveness, then God cannot forgive us, and then it brings strife. Now, okay, remember how my husband got on and off the freeway and he got to work faster than even normal that day, which shouldn't have in the natural happened, but because he was flowing in the Spirit, listening to the Spirit of God, and he was operating in Psalm 91, and he avoided that accident. Well, another day we went to go visit some family members, and those people were in strife. We had nothing to do with it. We didn't get in strife. We didn't, you know, it was just that household. And we went there to visit them and minister to them. But we were challenged to be a little offended at, you know, what somebody else was doing to some other people. And so we got in our car and we had to make another stop. And but we didn't get in a fight. We weren't in strife. We just shrugged that off. And that was in the days before we were doing many scenarios and CR being and confessing our sins and establishing the kingdom of God frequently during the day, and then doing our many scenarios. And if you don't know what that is, then you need to look that up on demand and listen to that lesson. However, when Pastor Joshua taught us to do that, it changed our whole life, because we saw that there was a challenge here. And we actually forgot to reactivate, to confess our sins and get back under the kingdom of God and reactivate Psalm 91. Because when you sin, it could breach that covering and protection. So here we're driving on the freeway. I've never seen this happen before. Other people may have, but I never seen it. I never experienced it. We're going the speed limit. We don't speed because we follow the law to submit. So we stay in the protection. If someone's speeding willfully, you're out of the protection as soon as you make that willful sin. Then if you realize it, then you confess it, reestablish kingdom of God, back off the gas pedal, and go the normal speed. Well, we're just having a nice conversation. All of a sudden, a car behind us runs into us while we're driving at the speed limit. And we feel a boom. And I said, oh my gosh, what was that? And we look back and there's this car like right on our tail. And I've been in a car accident before when we got rear-ended, and I had challenge of a severe whiplash, and it took years and years and years of recuperation. And the first thing the devil said to me is, aha, you're gonna lose your healing and get whiplash all over again and have to go to the hospital. And you know, as soon as I heard that, I went, no! I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. No, I'm not receiving that. If I should dash my foot against a stone or stumble, the angels of God will bear me up and lift me up and help me. And I said, I'm not receiving that in Jesus' name. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So we pulled over on the shoulder of a very, very, very busy freeway. My husband had to be careful opening up his door to make sure his door didn't get torn off by somebody that's, you know, in the slow lane. And the guy came around and he apologized. He said, I am so sorry. I was changing the channel on my radio. I didn't realize you were slowing down because all of the traffic was slowing down. And I'm sorry I bumped into you. I will pay for it or whatever. You know, neither of us got hurt. Thank God. But they had to replace our entire bumper. But the car was still drivable, so we can get to our next destination. It was a very important destination to pray for someone who had a very bad report from the doctor. And it was essential we went there to pray for him so that his wife could be saved. And the devil tried to stop us from that because he's a great man of God. We were able to get to our destination. And we're telling you this. Why? I'm telling you this because I learned from these mistakes that I need to pray Psalm 91 daily. I need to confess my sins frequently. I need to reestablish the kingdom of God frequently in the day. And I didn't realize I should have repented for being a little bit offended of what someone else was doing to someone else, even though it didn't affect me physically, or I didn't realize emotionally, or Pastor James didn't realize that it affected him emotionally as well. And just that, being, you know, saddened by it, put a breach in our shield of faith, put a breach in our protective covering. And you know what? We're not going to let the devil do that to us. We are going to receive everything God has for us. We are going to say, I'm arising and I am grabbing onto Jesus. And I'm going to take the garment of praise and touch his garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, of depression, of challenges, of anxiety, of fear, of whatever has been challenging us because of this pandemic. And it is not going to work because I am protected by God and his word. And I am definitely going to believe and not fear. In Jesus' name, amen.